Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Right here on the Mark Steiner Show, on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Last week, I met a Detroit-based artist, Gracie Xavier, who also studied at Mikey here in Baltimore for years, at Gallery CA over in Baltimore Station North neighborhood. The Mica Community Art graduate was in town for an opening reception for her solo exhibition, Cuts, Black Men in Focus, curated by Michelle Yvette Gomez. Gracie's goal was to promote positive images of men of color through their own lenses, showing their own beauty and power. And it was done in a place that men gather, the barbershops of our cities. The photography and videography work is now on display at Gallery CA, which is located at 440 East Oliver Street. Here's that conversation. You're in Detroit, but you actually spent time in Baltimore at Mica and more, right?
Yes. So I moved to Baltimore in 2013. To attend Mica. I was doing the MFA in Community Art Program. And so for our thesis or our project, we had to select something that's interesting or important to us. And it was also during Trayvon Martin. And I used to study work mainly dealing with women and girls, issues affecting women and girls. Then I decided, how can, as an artist, I put my voice as my own activism, my art is my tool for activism in regards to that, because we're always hearing these very negative stories about black men of color, and in turning the victim getting re-victimized. So that's how I felt with Trayvon Martin case. The fact, first of all, he was Zimmerman was found not guilty, and the fact that then he was put in trial. It always seems like men of color, African-American men, are put on trial, and they're given this negative narrative without having an opportunity to find out that these men are contributing to the community. And if you consider 400 plus years of history that we have worked, labored in this country, I think it's time that the stories are more positive and are heard from their perspective.
And before you decided to get your MFA, you already had a degree in social work and psychology, right?
Yes. So I had a degree in social work and psychology, and I always had the background in art. I used to be a child abuse investigator in Atlanta, so I know the power of art, that usually communal communities may look at therapy negatively, but in a social and community environment, you may be creating something, and therapy is happening. You're willing to share things that normally you might have not done, but and through art, you're able to tell a story and what's impacting you, and change starts to happen.
So you decided to do this as your thesis.
Well, originally, my thesis was working to investigate creating a digital survival guide for black boys. So therefore, I was talking to the parents because I was going to do mother and son. And then that's when the mothers informed me that it's best to speak to the men themselves, because they would serve as the best example mentors for these young boys to learn. And in doing that, that's when I was looking for the place where all socioeconomic economics everywhere across, because I started with INSA Roma and the Kappa Foundation, and then I transitioned to light bulb turned on, the barbershop. Where else can you find every cross-culture of African-American men or men of color but in a sacred space of the barbershop?
It's interesting that for people who are not African-American, the barbershops in every community are a place where men gather and talk, no matter what the community is. Mm-hmm. But the way you described it is a little different and unique as a sacred space.
Mm-hmm. Because if we think about the issues that are outside of the barbershop, African-American men don't have that one place that they're protected, that they can be very open and communal and share like experiences without all of the negativity that is bombarded in their lives every day. And so other communities have more than one space, more than one place than the barbershop, where they can relax and do whatever, and they're affirmed. But with African-American or men of color, places are like the barbershop or even the church are the only places they truly have left where they can be themselves, right? right? And put the guards down and show each other love and fight all the stereotypes that are said about them, that they're not loving, that they're not mentors, that they're not present, that they're not fathers. You see all of this displayed in the barbershop.
So your family's from Haiti, right?
Yes.
So I'm curious how that translates for you as a Haitian American woman in the culture of Africa America, which sometimes there's this divide, do you know what I mean, between cultures, mm-hmm. and how you see that, especially in terms of your work.
Well, at first, truth be told, people don't know what your culture is. They're only in America. Let me say that first of all. In America, you're judged by your color. So even before they find out that I am Haitian, that means I come with a totally cultural narrative, they assume I am black. And so they put all these perceptions on me that could be of any African American woman. In that regard, I know that I can come and say that I did not know that I was black until I moved into the United States. I know that I'm Haitian. I know my name is Gracie Xavier and that I had a culture. And those are the things that impact and influence who I am. It was not my color of my skin. But here, you're labeled with your skin color first before anyone gets to know who you are, gets to know your name, gets to know your culture, your faith, your belief, everything about you. And I think that is unfair. We know it is unfair, but that's the reality that we have to live in as people of color. And it translates to coming to America. I am African American, and I identify myself as Haitian American because I can identify with both. I come from Haiti with that cultural heritage, but then what's put on me, what compounded on me, is African American culture.
So here we are in the midst of your exhibit here at CA Gallery. So where would you like to start first? This wall here or somewhere else?
I guess we could start with the idea.
Yes.
So initially I started talking to Ensa Roma and the men in the community before even the barbershop light bulb turned on, was finding out from African American men, how do they feel the world view them? And then how do they view themselves? And taking these pictures that are contrary to the mugshot. Because the narrative that's told is that we are a statistic, that we are going to, if not end up dead, we are going to end up in jail. And everything in between that matters about our lives, our contribution to this universe, to this earth, does not matter. And that happens because of the perception of the world by the images and the stories and the systems that are portrayed about us, which is totally against the reality of what we believe that we contribute to the world.
You're a photographer as well, obviously. Obviously.
And Mike, I picked that up. Yes.
And so who are these men in this exhibit?
These men are, these are predominantly, I did community events. So to recruit the men, I would do community photo shoots with the different organization and invite men from the community to come and actually come in and participate and do the interview and do the photo shoot. So these are men with the Kappa Foundation. And also this is one of the artists that I work with, which is Greg Mason. And he is one of my favorite pictures because you ask him, how do the world view you? And he says, different. And then how do you view yourself from the world is still different.
And you have them holding up how they view themselves or how they are viewed.
Yes.
As they see it, but held up as if they were mugshots, but they're just men standing in their regular positions.
In regular position, telling their truth. And the world may see them as insignificant, but I see myself as a deity. The world may see me as a threat, but I see myself as significant. So that we do have contributions. We do have a story. 400 years plus of history, even though we have been mishandled and violated and victimized, we are not victims.
I like that. And this wall?
And so this wall is to show that outside of the barbershop, this is the reality of African-American men of color. These are the issues that we deal with. That starting coming into this land through slavery, even though this country was founded on that all men are created equal, but we were not. We were not seen as equal. And so coming into, am I not a man and a brother, even though this is contradictory to what the founding fathers found this country, we were not to be included in the story, even though I say that America was built in the back of people of color.
So you have these pieces coming from history to present.
Yes. So we're coming from, am I not a man and a brother, through the civil rights movement. Of course, people are saying we're making progress. The Civil War happened. You've got your so-called freedoms. But then what happens? Then we have Jim Crow laws. Then we have all the black codes. We have all these things. And we have to constantly assert that I am a man. We are always asserting our humanity that we value. And so then we move, you would think we're in 2015, and we still have to say Black Lives Matter, because we have to still affirm that our humanity matter, that we're contributing. And I get offended when I see people cross on Black Lives Matter and say All Lives Matter, because what we're trying to say is that we already know all lives matter. It's been told to us over and over again, we would like to matter in this story too. That's what the narrative we're speaking about when we say Black Lives Matter.
This is something people are just beginning to understand, but most don't, I think. You pull these out from all over the place.
Yes, this is my collage. Like, if you go inside a barber shop and you always look near the mirror, they're pulling stories, posters of things that matter to them. So these are the things that are impacting our lives, from slavery to mass incarceration to the poor educational system. Even though slavery ended over 200 years ago, we're still technically caught in systems that are enslaving Black boys and men.
So you chose the barbershop.
Yes.
As a way to tell this story,
mm-hmm.
Right? So tell me the barbershops you chose.
I chose Eclectic Cuts, which is located in East Baltimore, Reflections Eternal, which is located right here on Charles and 25th. I chose New Beginnings Barbershop, which is in Hollins Market. There's Economics Barbershop, which is kind of near the harbor, a little bit in that area. And then, of course, there was one in Manassas, because I worked with a young lady who wanted to follow me, and she wanted me to interview the barbershop where her father goes. So I also did one in Virginia.
So tell me about this quote, Derek Anthony Chase.
Derek Anthony Chase is one of the participants. He's known in the community, but I love what he said. He said, I think the world has a love and hate relationship with me, but they love me more than they hate me. I'm doing my best to be my greatest self. One of the challenges of the world and being black, in particular being black in America, is that they really desire to see the worst aspects of myself. But when they actually get an opportunity to see it, they have no choice but to be engaged by it. And you see that through all of the appropriations of African-American black culture. We may not matter, but for some reason, something about us intrigues them enough that all of our culture have been, from jazz music, from dancing, hip hop, all of these things have been appropriated from our culture, our lineage, that something is very spiritual and ancestral about us, but it's not celebrated in this culture. It's not celebrated a lot of places around the world, but we have impacted everywhere around the world, our culture, our history.
Well, let's talk about some of the photographs you have here. These are some of these are actually you doing your work, so talk a bit about.
So this is all the participant that helped behind the scenes in regards to process. So I worked with, these are the community organizations. So I work with Paul Roberson's Praise Academy, with Dr. Lamar Shields, and the Kappa Foundation in Saroma, community members that decided to help, like Dewan Antoine, and in the youth. A lot of this was facilitated with the digital survival guide idea, creating that for boys. So who best to engage these men in the conversation to learn from them? So working with Fresh Start, Living Classroom, Fresh Start, and Praise, the young men facilitated the interviews. So they were able to have the conversation with the men so that they can learn from them directly.
Right, and around the corner here are the photographs themselves.
So basically, with these photographs, they're called different perceptions. That challenges the stereotypes that are commonly reiterated in media and history through different cultures about us. Things like challenging that we are not present, we're not fathers, we're not mentors, we're not teachers, we cannot show affection, that we're not spiritual, that we're not intelligent, that we can't have bonding and play and show love and respect. And all these things are displayed here. And this is happening in one place, the sacred space of the barbershop. And it happens outside of the barbershop. But here you can document it, you can see it, whereas in the world, sometimes people can avoid saying they see it, but you can't deny that you're seeing this happen every day here.
And I love the way you, some of the photographs here, take a couple of them, like, which barbershop is this? Where the barber's wearing the Black Nerds Unite sweatshirt.
This is Eclectic Cuts, which is in East Baltimore, and this is why I captured is the stereotype that we are not intelligent. Right, that we are not intelligent. So this shirt, this picture exemplify that, of course, we're intelligent. History, half of history is written from the information learned from us, from the motherland in Africa, and changed and appropriated and said it was done by Western culture, but it is definitely from the motherland.
I love this chess piece.
Yes, it's a metaphor for so many things, right? In regards to the games that our lives basically feel like we are pawns in a chess game, but also the fact that we can be strategic in our network, strategic in building these relationships, and also learning how to play the system and the game and surviving it.
So there's one, I love the way you are capturing in your photographs in this barbershop the photograph of the young boy in the barber's chair looking at you and the barber doing his hair. And the expression between the two of them, and the other photograph towards the end where the young boy is looking at him.
Yes.
Was kind of...
It's that thing, like, I exist. One of the biggest reasons I chose to do this project is that concept that even though men of color and black men are spoken of constantly, no one speaks to them. It is almost as if they are invisible, that they do not exist. And in this picture, he's saying, I am here, look at me, and I love myself. I don't need your approval. I care, love, and affirm myself. And I'm here, you can't deny me, you will see me, you will acknowledge me, I am.
So tell me what you... what you learned in the process of doing this? What revelations came to you as you did this exhibit of creating this world in the Black Barbershop, the photographs?
How nurturing men are, and especially African-American men, and how kind they are. We're always shown in these very rough, detached, stoic, angry, violent kind of things. And sometimes we may deny it ourselves. Some of it starts coming into, you know, like, is it true? Are they this way? Unfortunately, that's the reality we live in. And then to be in an environment to see the tenderness, to see the kindness, to see the love that says, okay, they may say these things, stories about me, but that is not true. And you see it every day in these lives of these men, that they're positive, that their fathers, uncles, brothers, mentors, making positive contribution to their community, that the story is not always violent and death. Even though we are victimized, we are not victims, and that we will affirm our existence. It's a fight every day, and these men show that they will continue the fight.
I think what, to me, is some of the beauty of these pictures is the is what you're describing, is like show the beauty, as you were just, and gentleness, as you were describing, of men who are clearly very strong, serious men, looks in their faces that are doing their work, but also kind of the compassion and passion when they finish doing the work, and the gazes between one another.
Yeah, and so just like this picture right here, it's like he's so at peace.
You're describing a picture of a barber has his hand on a man's head, and the man is laying back in the chair with his eyes shut as he's getting his hair cut.
Do you know the level of trust that is between a barber and his client, and that this man is willing to let his guard down in this space to allow this person to get this close to him? Where else could a man of color feel this safe? There's not very many places this could happen. But the other one of my favorite, is this one here, very ethereal kind of portrait with the spray showing. And I think about the spirituality of men in color. Religion has been used to violate us as a people, in that sometimes we forget that we come from an ancestral, our own belief and faith system. And I am a Christian, and I acknowledge that, but I also know I come with a culture that comes from ancestral memories, religious faith that may not be of Western tradition, but they impact me till this day. They influence my life. And seeing that showcase in this barbershop here at Reflections Eternal, that we have to connect to our past if we're going to make any significant changes in our future.
Great, Xavier. I'm really impressed. This is beautiful work.
Thank you.
I do appreciate you letting us take some time and sharing this world of yours with us.
I appreciate you coming and supporting the vision.
My pleasure. You can see Gracie Xavier's cuts, Black Men in Focus, curated by Michelle Yvette Gomez, at Gallery CA at 440 East Oliver Street in Baltimore through October 30th. You can also meet Gracie when she's in town on Saturday, October 24th. For Barbershop Talks at 5 p.m. at New Beginnings Barbershop at 1047 Holland Street, which is one of the barbershops featured in her exhibit. You can find more information at blackmeninfocus.com. We have to take a very short break. When we come back, we'll talk to another artist, Paul Rucker, who has been a constant guest on our show. The Baker Award-winning artist exhibit called Rewind is currently at the Baltimore Museum of Art. And you don't want to miss this conversation.